Thank you very much. I want to thank the Barnhart's and the Linfelds for the privilege of being able to hold forth. And I want to hit Barney upside the head for making it hard for me to get started now. Because I remember that day in the laundromat. I was just thinking about it when he was relating to how he got in the Word. And to not take too much time away from what I would like to share with you tonight, I just want to acknowledge that that was literally a 180-degree turning point in my life. So I'm sure I'll have an opportunity to share with you individually or collectively about what he and Vicky have done for me and for Jan in our lives. But in the meantime, let's turn to the Epistle of Philemon. I don't know about the rest of you, but this is it's a pretty clean place in my Bible. I didn't know very much about this epistle and about this record. And it turns out it is a real gem in the scriptures. So let's start reading it, and I'll expand as we go on. But God's heart becomes very, very evident as we continue in the course of this epistle. So, Epistle of Philemon, just before Hebrews, right after Titus. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayer, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus, and toward all the saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing. And the way this, the following phrase should read is, acknowledging of every good thing which is in us unto Christ. Verse 7, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. And the story, the record, the information, the quick synopsis is that Philemon was a believer whose runaway slave, Onesimus, had crossed paths with Paul and become a believer, and began to serve and service Paul and help him minister to the saints. And Paul, because Onesimus had run away from Philemon, Paul is entreating Philemon to receive him back to him as not the slave that he had been, but as a bond slave of Christ and as Philemon's own brother in Christ. And there are, you read through a lot of commentaries to try and get to the, some of the meat of that relationship, and you find that a few of the writers like to say that this was verse 7, and all the verses leading up to it are Paul buttering up Philemon to send Onesimus back to him. But the truth of the matter is, keeping in mind that the epistle of Paul to Philemon isn't just a letter from one believer to another, it is the word of God. So God has this in there, and he has a reason for it being in there. And part of the reason for this scripture, for this epistle, is for God to remind us, this is how God sees all of his saints. He doesn't see our sin, errors, screw-ups, mistakes. He sees our love. He sees our faith. He sees the communication of our faith. He sees the joy and consolation that others have in the love that we have and exercise and show for one another. That's what God sees. That's how God sees you. And that's what this verse is really communicating. We have great joy and consolation in our love because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Verse 8, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged or the elder, and now being a prisoner, also a prisoner of Christ. Yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. At some point, Paul witnessed to Onesimus, and Onesimus believed the word. Verse 11, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. So apparently there had been, Onesimus had wronged Philemon in the course of his preparing himself to run away and make himself a free man, whether he had stolen from him or lied to him or some combination of those things. His life in that respect was unprofitable to Philemon, which is kind of ironic because the name Onesimus means profitable. Verse 12, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels. Now, that's a pretty simple request. You know, I'm sending him back to you, so receive him. But it's a grave charge that Paul is making to Philemon to receive Onesimus. In Paul's, with compassion. Because for one thing, he was of great service to Paul, and Paul's desire was to keep him there, but also in the Roman Empire, slaves were constantly crucified for smaller offenses. A thief and a runaway had nothing but torture or death to expect upon returning to his former master. That's a citation from the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. So sending Onesimus back to Philemon under normal circumstances, because if we weren't talking about three believers involved here, was a death sentence at best. But Paul casually says, I'm sending him back to you, so receive him with my compassion, because I would have kept him, verse 13, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. Legally, it was Paul's responsibility to return Onesimus to Philemon, but spiritually, it was simply the right thing to do. It was the heart thing to do for Paul to do right by Philemon according to law. But where he says that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly, or perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. he came to me, but he's coming to you back as a more valuable asset, as not only a servant, but a brother. Verse 16 says, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Receive him as if he were receiving me. And that's as if he was receiving Paul the aged, Paul the elder, Paul the one deserving of respect and deference. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. I got you born again. I made your life worth something. I don't care whatever it was you were doing before we met. The gospel made you whole. Paul is reminding him. But this is the jewel. This is the crowning diamond of the epistle. This is God's driving point, because Paul makes himself the type, the comparison, measuring what Christ did for Philemon and for all of mankind, paying a debt he did not owe, when he, Jesus Christ, could have demanded payment from us for what he had already done for us in his life. And yet he went on to sacrifice to make us pure and clean and right and cleanse us and make us utterly and completely righteous. Paul makes the comparison of returning, of being willing to take on the debt that Onesimus might owe Philemon, or that Philemon might perceive to be owed, when the truth of the matter is, he's already gotten more than he deserved, and this is a return that is even greater in value, to receive this former slave as a brother with a promise of whatever that brother might have cost him in the past to be paid above and beyond. That's the measure that God has measured toward us in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That is the point of the epistle. That's where this God-breathed portion, this canon in the scriptures, God's heart is really revealed in this epistle, to be reminded, that we are reminded, the debt that was paid for us is far above and beyond anything we could have repaid on our own, and yields a value far and greater than anything we can imagine on our own. It's God's illustration of his desire for us. That's the part that blew me away about never having read this epistle all the way through, and to see that, for that to come through the way it does here at the end. Verse 20 says, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given to you. I'll have an opportunity to come see you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The record of Philemon and Onesimus is another of God's illustrations of his desire for us, that by the sacrifice of a man whose generosity was beyond measure, we receive not the punishment we deserve, but by the grace of his Father, we received a deliverance we could not possibly have attained by any effort of our own. God illustrates for us here in a short, sweet entreaty, this very brief letter, again, his heart for us, to make us whole, to provide a sacrifice above and beyond anything we could earn, that we could be made greater men, greater women than we could possibly have imagined in this life, mm-hmm. for which we need to always be thankful. Amen.
Amen. That word prayer, Ron, please.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given for us more than we can measure. We thank you also that by that we're able to give to others, that our heart of love, in our hearts of love, we realize, as Vicky shared yesterday, there is no room for unforgiveness in the walk of a believer. We just move forward in love, knowing that we've been forgiven beyond measure. I thank you, Father, for the privilege we have to move forward today in the face of what the world considers a cataclysmic upturn, and simply continue to speak your word and share your heart and demonstrate your incredible goodness toward all of mankind, that everybody has an opportunity to come to our Lord Jesus Christ and know you in the heart of the Creator of the universe, to have mankind, every individual, as one of his children. Thanks, God, for being the greatest dad there could possibly be. And it's in the name of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.